Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America and English.
Oh, what a strike, Club America!
Your hosts for today are Ivan Pineda, Cristian Rosendo, Alexis Juarez, and everyone's favorite cowboy, Dylan Jimenez.
Goal!
Now let's hit the field and start the show.
America!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to an episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. I'll be your host today, not Ivan, because Ivan is on dad duties now. And so joining me today is none other than California's finest, way above Ivan Pineda, Chris. Chris, how you doing today?
Good, bro. Good. A little sleepy because the weather we've been having. Like Ivan said, we always talk about the weather, but it's literally been weird weather this year here in California, but yeah, you know, shout out to Ivan real quick. You know, like you said, he's in daddy duties or whatever, you know. Shout out to our boy Benjamin, aka Little Dylan.
Why would you say that?
Oh, it sounds wrong now that you put it on like that. Which is it's because I mean, like, you're his godfather, bro. Come on.
Well, anyways, that's neither here or there. Today we're going to be doing a lot of talking of we'll kind of necessarily touch and kind of recap the season as a whole. We'll talk about the rumors that have been circulating around the club, and you know, just me and Chris are going to play a quick little game at the end of buy or sell. With the Bathroom's recent interview he had on what show was it, Chris?
It was TUDN. I don't know the name of the show, but it was there.
Well, that's good enough for me. Yeah, Banyos is a recent interview on TUDN. But Chris, obviously not the way the season wanted to end for us. You know, so obviously it's a fracaso. But overall, looking at the season as a whole from the start to the end. What are your thoughts initially?
On the end or just the whole thing?
The whole thing.
Well, it feels like just any other season since Piojo left, if we're being honest. I think throughout the season, you feel, oh, this team feels different, this and that, and then it's just always something, right? And that's really how it feels. I think it has gotten to a point where we're not really judging this team off of what they do inside the season, but they're like legit what their strengths and weaknesses, right? Mm-hmm. I think now we're just going to be pointing out all year long that defense, right? Or little minor things that coaches do or don't do. And I think it's sad, right? Because we're there. We're almost there. It's like we see the finish line, but we're not. And it's very frustrating. But I do think we have the team and the right players to get across from it. It's just going to have to take that extra little step, that extra push, and that those players need to really want it and for us to just get there, you know?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. But and you know, obviously, there's been a lot of frustration too around certain players within the club. You know, and it's just to me, I kind of question and wonder, you know, if we even had the right players to begin with, because this roster hasn't really changed that much over time. If I'm being quite honest, I don't know if you can agree with that. Like, obviously, you know, there's been some additions, there's been some departures, but really, it just kind of seems like this has been the same roster and the same start, almost the same starting 11 for what maybe like the past three or four seasons. Like, it just doesn't seem like nothing's getting done with the roster to improve it. And then, you know, obviously just going through the coaches and stuff like that. You know, obviously after Piojo was Solari, and then Thano comes in, now Thano's out. You know, it's just, I just kind of feel like something's got to give at this point, because I just feel like, you know, we're due, the team's due for something. But it's just, at the end of the day, it just seems like it's just staying still, it's stalling, because not much is really changing within the team, within the institution.
Yeah, man. Like I said, it's just one of those things where you kind of just hope everything clicks, right? Mm-hmm. It just, we talk defense and it's a lot of developing players, right? They can't, it's not like they're coming in already developed with this plan. Maybe Araujo is the only one, right? That it's like, oh, he came in already a veteran, but not the player that we expected, or some of us probably already knew this was going to happen, right? But where everyone else is kind of this development. It's just like, it's like, I'll put it in football terms, right? You draft a rookie, but you're not drafting that rookie for like instant impact. It's like, okay, let's see where he's at, and throughout the year they're gonna get better. It's not necessarily what we need on defense. I feel like we need a veteran presence that's gonna have that leadership, you know. And I think you look at that last game of the season, and you're down one guy, and your coach isn't the leader, and then nobody on the field is the leader, and it's just, you just don't see that emotion, right? And that's kind of the thing, the issue, right? That we need coming into this next season. What we need is that passion, right? That effort to come out when you're tired and you're just still going down, no matter, you're still going up the field, right? Trying to score another one, even though you're up, and you're not just like defending and just letting everything just happen by itself.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree too. And I think that's something that's kind of been missing from this team. You know, obviously with the change between the goalkeepers at like after 7 weeks, if I'm not mistaken, between Jimenez and Malagón coming in. And correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, about that. It's somewhere around there. But, you know, even besides then, obviously you had Nestor, and you were kind of hoping, you know, that Nestor to come in and be that veteran presence, that leadership presence, and it wasn't really there per se. Isidore Reyes, you know, it took a while to kind of come around. Even then, you know, he still had some of his bad moments. And not to mention that you're at times, you know, at right back, you're gonna either have Lado or Layún. It's just like, okay, well, do I have any other option when you really didn't? And so it's really. You know, that whole back line just kind of comes into question a little bit too, because you don't really feel the sense of urgency from some of these players a lot of times. You don't feel the sense of like, okay, like, you know, you kind of said, like, even though you're up one goal or you're up two goals, you know, trying to chase a third one or that second one or even a fourth one at that state, because you're putting yourself in the position to just hold the lead instead of just trying to go out and put the game to rest.
Yeah, and a lot of the times it's the coach's fault, you know, for stuff like that, right? Because I've been saying since our elimination, this is what made Piojo Herrera different. You know, a lot of people just hated on Piojo because, yes, it's very frustrating seeing that type of character outside of the field, and it's, or even during the field, right, where it's just like, bro, just do your job. But sometimes when you have a character like that as a coach, you see the motivation, right? And I'm not here to just like praise Piojo, but I'm trying to like point out that in our last two coaches, they didn't really have the character, right? They didn't have the charisma that, oh, you're down, or oh, the situation we're in is very ugly, we still have 30 minutes left. Like, they're going to motivate you. You don't see that motivation from Solari or from Pertano, right? And
right.
I think you need someone to sell you the idea of like, yo, I'm going to be the leader. I'm going to drive you guys there. Just listen to what I'm going to say, and we're going to win this, you know? And I think that's exactly what we've been needing. And it's to fault players too, right? Because if the coach isn't exactly that, it doesn't change the fact that, hey, you have a job to do, right?
Right.
But for me, it's just more like, if those players aren't going to step in, the first one that should be stepping up is the coach, you know? After right. The coach, it's the players. But before anyone else, it's the coach. And I think that's exactly what we've been missing. And that's the, like, we're going to touch on the whole coaching job thing, right, in a bit. But that's why, for me, my personal favorite candidate was Vasco Aguirre, because I feel like he has that character, right? And I think that would have worked for us. And say, like, I think Solari and Donald, like, as great as they ended up numbers wise, right? They just lack that character.
Right. No, yeah, I definitely agree too. And I think, you know, looking back at the season, especially the beginning, you know, it was really worrisome for me. Because you start the season off with three draws, if I'm not mistaken, three draws. You have three draws, and then you get the win against Mazatlan. You win big, but, you know, that's kind of expected. Then you draw against Santos, and then you go on against, you get three straight against Necaxa, San Luis, Tijuana. Again, I kind of think those are expected. And then after that, not too long after that, that's when you get punched in the mouth by Pachuca, and you're just like, well, great. Like, to me, it just didn't seem like it was going to go great. To me, the season seemed like it wasn't going to go the way anybody wanted to. But I think, to me, that's where the turning point was, because, and that's where I think Dano, in a sense, kind of started to light a fire under these guys to go on the run they kind of did for the Liguilla. Because you go to the Volcan, if I'm not mistaken, against Tigres, you punch Tigres in the mouth, you know, you get the win. And then obviously you got Chivas, and then you do what you do. It wasn't in Akron whenever we played Chivas, Chris?
Yeah, because yes. I remember their fans left early and all that.
Yeah, and so you do that, and then in a span of 4 weeks, you know, you punch Tigres in the mouth, you do what you do on the road against your biggest rival, and then you punch Monterrey in the mouth, even though I think by that point it wasn't really a chance for us to get first. But to do that in a span of 4 weeks, you know, I think, to me, that's the turning point in the season, because that's where you felt like the team was, like, really clicking. The team was had that sense of urgency, and, you know, like he kind of said, having that passion from your coach. And I think Donald brought it out in that time. It's just, obviously, at the end of the day, you know, it lost steam, and, you know, especially in that second leg against San Luis, whenever it got really worrisome at that point, whenever what they scored like in the first 5 minutes, and then scored again like not too long after that. But, you know, it is what it is at the end of the day too.
And quick reminder, after that Pachuca game, that's when they take out Oscar Jimenez, and that's where Malagón debuts against Tigres, you know, and
yeah
he does a good job, you know, and we were able to just continue, right? Like we start winning games, and we start playing good, and we weren't necessarily playing bad, right? Like I said, it's not the inside of the season, like we're in season, it's not an issue. That really isn't the issue, like, right? Like we had a horrible first half of the season. Horrible from our standards, because it's not necessarily like we were losing games. We only lost that Pachuca game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So, like, it was just a bunch of ties that you should have won. And
like I was saying, like, you won games that you're supposed to win. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So the issue is, like, it's those ties, for example, right? You're supposed to win them, and it's like you don't lose, but you don't win. And it's just one of those things where, like, well, if we're supposed to win these games, this is the easy part of our schedule. Who are we putting the blame on? Me and Ivan put most of the blame on Oscar Jimenez. And I think it's fair, right, to put it, because he's made a lot of mistakes. But with that being said, the coach still has to find ways to win these games. You know, you can't sit here and be like, it's not the coach's fault. Like, it is the coach's fault. Right. They weren't losses, but they felt like losses. And once they took out Malagón, it felt more like, oh, is the player saving it for him, right? Or maybe right. I'm discrediting Tano a little bit too much, but my point is, it's you kind of see that pattern in the Liguilla, right? You got that game against San Luis, very ugly. And it's like, okay, so coaching is costing us to play these type of games. And then while I personally blame Fidalgo a little bit more than Tano for that Chivas game, because it's just like, it's just an ugly red, unnecessary. End of the day, like, even if you're down by one guy, you still have a job to do. And that's you as a coach. You have to adapt to these situations, right?
Right.
And if you go, it's 30 minutes left, and the first thing you do is, I'm going to defend completely, and your players look lost out there because they don't know what they're doing. They don't know their role. Well, look what happens, right? So yeah. I think that, like, this season, a lot has to – you start off in the top, right? And then we could sit here and be selective on who else deserves blame. But I do think Tano is – to blame, the main blame for the season.
Yeah, and I can agree with that too. And kind of moving off of the subject, because I think, you know, I kind of mentioned that Ruby playing a game toward the end, but I think we can kind of fit it in as we kind of go along at this point. So I'll kind of bring up the first part of this. And my first question, you know, are you buying or selling that Donald's resignation caught the board off guard, Chris?
Oh, I believe it. I believe it because, one, I think me and Christian said it, and I agree with it, right? In our group, he said Donald should be fired if we lose this series against Chivas. And I agreed. You know, there's no excuses. Reminder, it happened to Piojo, and they weren't looking to fire him. He lost to LAFC, and if it wasn't for him getting into that fight with that assistant, they don't fire him either. You know, I think they were going to stick to Tano, and I think him saying, oh, I'm out of here, caught him off guard. Mind you, he took all his assistants with him, you know?
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where it's like, this isn't a normal offseason to begin with, right? Because you got league, the season starts early, you got Leagues Cup, and then you have all the national team players all out. So it's one of these things where the front office needs to like just have everything ready to go, right? So I do think it caught them off guard. And then look how long it took them, 20 something days. That's almost a month to find another coach. Like, I do think that it caught them off guard.
Yeah. All by. No. So yeah, I think I agree with you, yeah, because I mean, it's even though there's multiple reports obviously out there that Hadzin's going to be the next coach, you know, nothing's still really official as of yet, even though I'm checking Twitter right now to be sure that that is correct. It still goes to show that I think that Vino still doesn't really know what the hell he's doing, you know? And it goes to show too that it did catches them off guard because, you know, they weren't ready to go out looking for another coach. They weren't ready to realize like, oh crap, like, you know, we have to find somebody, and then they still have to bring in all of their coaching staff too to go along with filling it. So I mean, it's a rough time right now. It really is for the team and everything. Anything else, Chris?
No, just that's it. You know, I do think there's people that think Baños is a liar. There's a lot of the stuff he says that just kind of clicks with everything else that happens, you know?
Yeah.
We'll get more into the topics that you're going to bring up, but
yeah.
I think for the most part, from that situation, I don't think he's lying.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I kind of want to go ahead and go off the subject since we kind of started this transition a little bit, but before we do, is there anything else you'd like to say, you know, regarding the season, you know, how it kind of was as a whole, or, you know, even how the way it ended or anything?
Well, just the way it ended, I think I could speak for a lot of people that it was one of the hardest defeats that I can't say ever had, because we've lost to them in these type of situations before, but the way it ended, the way the final was kind of playing off, right? I think after the first game, a lot of us already had us as winners. And personally, it just like, it shattered my heart. I couldn't sleep, if I'm being honest with you. Like, I kept on like replaying that slide tackle from Fidalgo, and it just was very, very hard to just accept, you know. And luckily for us, you know, at least from a bragging rights situation, they don't win the final.
Mm-hmm.
But it does become one of these things where it's like, if we were eager to win a title, like, now it's like there's no excuses. Like a lot of us said, if Hidalgo gets sold tomorrow, we don't care. Like, it's one of those things where, like, now they have to win us over again. Now they have to go and prove them right, because I don't think a lot of people have that belief in the front office, in the players, and the coach, you know, to be determined. But yeah, it's just that, you know. I feel like everyone else kind of agrees with that. I would like to think that, you know, but that's my opinion.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think, and from my perspective, with all of it, I think I was more mad because I sat in the newsroom watching the game because we had our 10 o'clock. And while the 10 o'clock was going on, the game was on. And so I literally stayed behind after the show instead of just going home to hope they pulled it off. Just to see Chivas score that third one. And I just turned off the TV and walked out. And I was like, I can't believe I wasted that time for this. And so, and to be all honesty too, like I kind of went a little numb, and I've been numb since the Concacaf Champions final against Monterrey. After that was the last time I felt like really upset, you know, and was sad. And then since then, it's just been kind of numb ever since. So, I mean, I wouldn't say it bothers me as much losing to Chivas like that, but I mean, I was still mad because I wasted time sitting at the station instead of just coming home. So there's,
yeah, no, I feel you.
Yeah, so there's my part in it all. But nonetheless, you know, a lot of questions still remain that obviously we could talk about and touch on, especially with at this time of this recording, if you're listening at a later time, that no coach has been hired yet. And like Chris said, it's been about 20 days since the club has been managerless. I don't know what's going on, because I'm pretty sure they've kind of reported. They reported already by now, didn't they, Chris? Did we at least start training somewhat?
They should be training. Well, they're leaving to a friendly this weekend, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, but like they've been in club for like training or somewhat doing something, right?
Yeah, I don't know what, but I think some of the people are kind of exaggerating. Not exaggerating. I understand why people kind of get bothered by the. I personally didn't have an issue with them taking long, for the simple fact that there's so many players. I read a number that I think 14 players, maybe I'm wrong in the number, but are with their national team. Like, it's so many players out with their national team that it kind of gave them that they could just go out, right, and just wait for the right candidate, you know? Like, I think that's why I didn't read the trip when it came to that.
Yeah, no. And especially since it's a busy summer, too, because there's what, at least for the players that are Mexican, there's Nations League and then there's Gold Cup.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
and plus for the people that like national academy players, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, it's good that the coach is coming in, like at least to see these academy players. Like that's the first thing he's going to see from these friendlies against Toluca. And I think Monterrey is the other one, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So me personally, I didn't really trip about all that. Like, I think with these friendlies, you're going to see nothing but academy player, maybe some veterans, but for the most part, it's going to be academy. And like I said, there's people out there that really want this team to bring out academy players, because the belief has been this club plays better when they have someone from the cantera that knows that were born into it.
Right.
Like we always win titles when we have those academy players, right? Raul, right. Diego Reyes, Edson, Linus, Hugo Gonzalez, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hugo Gonzalez, Ventura Alvarado, right? When he had a sub in over Foggy Lott, players like that, like,
right.
Just historically, we always just do better when there's academy players out there, you know, right. Playing. So I'm sure a lot of people are going to be happy from at least that perspective, that, oh, this coach might go in there and see them play first and have an idea of like, oh, I like that youngster. He's going to go and get these minutes instead of this veteran player that people don't really like. For example, not official yet, but Viñas is going to León. Well, instead of bringing in someone, we give an academy player that chance and they end up performing. You never know, right?
Right. No, I definitely agree. And let's kind of, since you're talking about the manager perspective of seeing the youngsters, playing in these upcoming friendlies that they're about to go on. Let's go ahead and start there, because obviously that's kind of been a novella in itself. Obviously, and I'll reiterate this again, because it's Thursday June 15th, just after 6 o'clock in Texas, just so y'all kind of get a perspective of the time that this is recorded for me. Nobody has been hired at Medica, but this in itself has been a novella in itself in terms of like, Hayreddin, especially now at this time that reporting Hayreddin seems like it's going to be him with all the multiple reports coming out. But obviously there's been a list of other coaches too. Diego Alonso, Craig Berhalter, Chris, help jog my memory, help me. Who are some other coaches that mentioned?
Aguirre, supposedly. Fernando Gago. I can't pronounce the other guy's name, but it's someone that Christian was really high on. It was
Didn't he want Crespo?
Too? Crespo too.
Yeah, Crespo.
Robert Moreno. I don't know if some Spaniard. There's been a lot of names. Supposedly, Baño said they only interviewed like 5, and a lot of the ones that came out weren't necessarily like they didn't interview them. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm sure Alan Cervantes at one point was considered. But
right.
Yeah.
So obviously, we'll stick here in the present time because it seems like it's going to be Hayreddin, but you know, what was your kind of initial thought going into all of this, seeing all the names? Because it seemed like it was somebody new every day. After about a week since Donald resigned, it just seemed like it was somebody every day. You know, even Baños going to Europe to search for somebody, or you know, looking
in Argentina.
Yeah, in Argentina. Yeah, exactly. What's kind of your thought process leading into this? And whenever I mention this and you talk about this, think of like Hayreddin not hired. Don't think of the reports that are out right now saying that he's going to be announced.
Me personally, I thought we were going to get this done really quick. I thought once Aguirre was announced and saying they already talked to him, whatnot, I was like, okay, like I think that's the right time. Many people may know, may not know, but he's an academy player, and he scored in that historic final against Chivas back in the 80s. He's an academy player that has been in those situations, right? Who's historic in CONCACAF, historic for Mexico. He's a legend, right? So for me, it was one of those things where like, okay, like maybe his style of play isn't necessarily great. Maybe but in that game against Chivas, his style of play wins the game type of situation, right? And for me, it's just like, who is the closest thing? And like I said, cheerleader coaches. Who is the closest thing to a Piojo Herrera? Which I know a lot of people are kind of probably going to roll their eyes and say, Piojo, why are you bringing him up? Like, he was awful. At the end of the day, he won titles for us, and he won in a very passionate way. And I think Aguirre brings you that exactly. A lot of people bring up the fact that Aguirre was a flop in Monterrey. He won a CONCACAF against us, and he played a really good World Cup of clubs, you know? Mm-hmm. So for me, it was just one of those things where I'm like, okay, like I wouldn't mind him, and he was my favorite. Like when all the lists came out, I didn't want Diego Alonso. People talk about Tata in the national team, right? Diego Alonso was with a way better Uruguay squad and did worse than Tata, right? Tata's another guy that got rumored too, but was like a far, like unlikely type situation. I didn't mind that because I said, you know what? Even though I'm judging Diego Alonso for his national team stuff, I wasn't going to judge him from off of that. They said Osorio was another one that they named. I didn't mind that either because I think Osorio prepares his team right. I don't think he's passionate, but I do think he prepares his team right. Right. A lot of others talk about how he'd play players out of position, right? Well, he did that and their players didn't do bad, you know, or that bad. Like, it could have been uglier. Yes, he hit the 7-0 and then all that. Those are ugly moments, but overall, it's not necessarily a bad, ugly thing, right? Or a bad thing. And then, who else am I missing from the candidates? Berhalter for me was just I'm down. That was just the way I seen it. I seen so many people pissed off, and part of me was just kind of annoyed. But at the same time, I was just like, you know what? I'm down. If we're going to have a clown fest, a clown show, whatever, like, I'm down, whatever. Bring him in. Like, we did good with academy coaches. Like, maybe we'll do good with him, right? Mm-hmm. Right. Like, maybe I was just down with it, like, whatever. And then, is it Jardinet, right?
Yeah, something like that.
I heard, I seen someone say Jardinet, that it's with a Y instead of a, like, that's how you pronounce it. But with him, I like it because of what he did with the Olympic squad with Brazil. I don't know if you stayed up to watch those games because it was very late, no. Very early, right? But that Brazilian squad played very, very good. Attractive football and very organized. And that's the way I look at it, right? I think it's not fair to sit here and be like, oh, but with San Luis isn't spending money like we are. You know, they don't have the quality that we have. And look how he made us look in that second leg, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, I said, you know what? This is a coach that's probably organized, that knows, has an idea, who talked highly of Henry Martin and talked highly about Diego Valdez. So for me, it's like, you know what? And he's in the league. I said, you know what? For me, he was my second best choice out of this. And if nothing weird happens, then I'm glad that he's our coach.
Okay. And we'll backtrack a little bit, because I like how you mentioned that you didn't want Diego Alonso. So now, keeping this in mind, and also going back a little bit and talking about the interview that Baños did on through the NM, Baños said that Diego was the only coach that rejected the club. Are you buying or selling that?
I think I'm selling that, just because everyone else is reporting something else, right? I think for him, it's easier to just say, oh, nobody rejected us. Only one guy, you know, but no one else rejected us. Like, imagine he says, yeah, all these people rejected us. Well, the criticism, right, is going to happen. And in that interview, he talked about how he does read all the stuff people say on Twitter and all that. And it's like, imagine he does say that all these people, mind you, Aguirre said that he was never interviewed for the position. Right. And that they never reached out. So maybe from that one, I do believe. But others, I do think that they probably did reject him, you know?
Yeah. And speaking of that, and I'm kind of expanding and going a little broad here whenever I go off. I even said to you in the group chat is that there's, and especially after you said that with Diego, the only one that's rejected us, I'm selling that too, because I just don't see, I feel like whenever Baños talks to these coaches, whenever he talks to these managers, I think whenever if he presented something to them, I don't think these coaches saw the project and said, this is something I want. I feel like there's hardly anything, if anything at all, a project that's going to go into the Apertura. I just don't feel like there's nothing there. Like I said, if anything's this small and nobody wants to tackle this, then, I just feel like, especially now when you look at the past couple of years from the club and what the club has done, I mean, you're coming in, and I think most people know the expectations that are going to come with, you know, managing this club and what the criticism is going to be if you don't achieve those expectations. And I don't think nobody wants to be part of that if there's little to no project being presented.
Yeah. And I also, the way he said it is that it's pretty much him running the team. Like, he's choosing who's going to stay and who's not going to leave, right? Because he doesn't want to, quote unquote, rebuild, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Baños leaves anytime soon. I was watching ESPN a couple days ago, and they brought up the fact that his wife and Emilio's wife are sisters. So it's like in the family type situation. And
yeah.
I think their goal is, you're going to work with us until a spot in the national team opens up, and now you could take run stuff over there. And I think that's all it is. I think Baños we're just gonna have to hope for the best. You know, I know he gets a lot of slander, rightfully so, from me too. But sometimes these titles not being won isn't necessarily because of signings, right? Maybe we do go in, talk into, like, deep into stuff, and we're like, why is this, this and that? Why is this player not leaving, this and that? But we're right there. Like, this last Liguilla, we're right there. We could taste the glory, right? And it's like, it doesn't happen. Do you go and blame him? Maybe you do blame him for the way Dano left, but you don't necessarily blame him for what happened on the field. At least that's what I think, you know?
Yeah, no, I can see that too. And, you know, I think if Ivan was here too, I don't think Ivan would necessarily defend Baños, but I think Ivan would go on to say that the club has no money to go out and actually buy an official. So,
and even point in the interview, he even talks about it. Like, like he says, like, they asked him, so how does the money come in and out? And he's like, look, we can, like, they asked him, can you guys ask, like, ownership for more money? Like, no, like, whatever we pump out from, like, sales, right? Maybe jersey sales or sponsors or stuff like that. Whatever we get from there, that's what we use. So, like, whatever we have from all these stuff, from a venue and all that, winning, right? Because if you get you become champion, you win all that money, extra money, stuff like that. It's like, that's where we get our money from. We can't go to ownership and be like, give me $3 million more for this player. And it's a frustrating thing, because if you know Televisa, you know that the money's there. They wanted to bring in, like, they wanted to give a similar offer to what Messi got in Inter Milan, which is like TV rights and whatnot, right?
Right.
They technically can do that, but they won't ever do it.
Right.
And that's where a lot of people get frustrated, right? Or just, I don't know. I think there's a lot of things that us as fans don't know, but I do think there's a lot of judgment that's correct.
Right, right. So basically what you're saying too is the La Rosa de Guadalupe viewership is not doing nothing for us. So
nothing.
So tell all your abuelas and tías and moms to stop watching it, because it does
turn it off. Exactly. Turn it off.
And so I think from here, Chris, we'll kind of shift. We've talked about the manager rumors, again, reiterating as of this time. If you're listening to this tomorrow and someone magically gets hired, we don't know about it yet, obviously, because we're from the past, not the future. So shifting from the manager rumors to the player rumors, obviously, you know, Kevin Alvarez, you know, now signed. How are you feeling about this signing? Finally, something that we're happy about for this offseason.
Oh, can you repeat that again? My bad.
No, you're good. So obviously through all the manager rumors and stuff like that, and all that, we got obviously Kevin Alvarez signed to the team now. And so just talk about how that excitement is for you, even through all the manager drama at the moment.
Oh, yeah, man. I think it covers the most important role, right? I think... But like, to bring up that interview from Baños, he kind of says, oh, you know, that these positions don't really win you titles. I think, like, if we're comparing to what we had Emilio Lara that couldn't cover, like, you couldn't just mark his guy. And Layún, who, let's be honest, he's not a fullback anymore, you know. Like, once upon a time, he was playing as a left back, and now we have him on the right. And then you see an interview where he says, oh, I played my best football on the left side, but I'm on the right now. It's like, and I can't defend, and I can't cross. And it's like, okay, bro, like, these are the type of players that cost you championships and cost you games, right? I think Kevin Alvarez, who isn't great defensively, I'm being completely honest, he's not great defensively, but he is really good offensively, and that's his natural position, right? We're not playing someone that's out of position. We're not playing someone that is publicly saying, I don't like playing here. it's a guy that came out from their academy and played this position. And while he's more offensive than defensive, it's a guy that's not going to, how do I say it? He's not going to question why he's there. Like, right. You're not going to question it. He's going to contribute. He's going to do good, right? So it's an upgrade. And I'm excited, right? I think the backup should be an academy player. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think Layun should be moved up to right winger. We'll take Jurgen Damm's spot as a cheerleader, as a mascot. I just think Kevin Alves is a great signing. And then just the price that we were rumored to sign him for.
So speaking of that price, you know, you buy or selling that the club didn't pay $11 million for Kevin.
Yeah, I buy that. Pay that much. Yeah, everyone said it. And then even Almada, because he's the one that came out and said, oh, we sold Kevin for 11 and Isaias or whatever he came into Toluca for 11. And everyone came out right away and said, that's BS. Toluca paid $1 million and America paid $4 million plus Viñas that's going to go to León. You know, it's not official yet because I guess it's technically part of a separate deal, but it is part of the same deal type situation. But still, there he said, $11 million, bro. Like, I understand we believe that Mexican players are overvalued, but America's not going to pay $11 million for, mind you, we have two open spots for extranjero. We could have easily gotten to one cheaper, even for more, even for. So I believe him. When I believe Baños and I believe all the reports that we didn't pay $11 million. We paid maybe in total value. I don't know how much Viñas is valued at, but money wise, we did not pay $11 million.
Right. No, I agree with you too. I don't think $11 million is the right value. But I'm really excited for the signing too. To now that we have a proper player for the proper position. Even though I've always preached that, you know, sometimes you just got to be versatile in a sense, but we don't have players that are versatile at this point. So I'm really happy for the signing to be able to come in and hopefully make a difference and, you know, help us, you know, fix the issues that we've always complained about back line a little bit more and clean it up and tighten it up. But with Kevin here now, obviously, Chris, I just feel like we've kind of been just in the jumble of the manager rumors. You know, they helped me try to remember it. Are there any other players, you know, that you can kind of remember off the top of your head that have been rumored with the club?
Omar Campos, I guess that negotiation's kind of been weird. Gibran has been kind of inconsistent these past few days, right? Because he said it 4 months ago that he's our player. But for some reason, we're not finalizing that. Mm-hmm. He did say that that Santos is waiting for an offer from Europe. Mm-hmm. And if they don't find anything, he's going to come with us. But then Cesar Caballero, because I was watching the Jorge Ramos and Subanda, right? So I guess he dropped names there that he didn't tweet out. But he said that the club isn't prioritizing the left because they're comfortable in a youngster that could compete for that, and that he might win the starting job in these friendlies. And then they renewed Fuentes for 6 months, so Chava Reyes might be out. Then again, he's been played as a left wing, and Roger just left. So it might be between him and Mauro Lainez who returned, right? Mm-hmm. And then, I can't pronounce it. I suck with names, bro. So we're linked to, these are Mexican players. I don't know if they were formados in Mexico, so I don't know if they take a foreigner spot or not, but its name is Benjamin. Was it Benjamin Galdames, which is, he plays in Chile. He's a Chile Mexican. And then Luca Martinez Dupoy, who I'm sure if you're a Mexico fan, you've heard that name a lot, which is a Mexican, but Argentino, right? But he chose to play for Mexico. They both chose to play for Mexico. Right. And his dad played in America, and he played there in Toluca. He played in Tigres, and I think San Luis. but he has said that he would like to play for America. From what Cesar Caballero said, he said that they both been contacted, but that Depoy is the closest to arriving at the club. There's no advanced negotiations, but if it were to happen, like between those two, if one were to happen, he would be the one to step up. I think it shows. I think it shows the salary of you know that we're talking about of what we could spend and whatnot. I think it's hard. It's hard to really. I guess be mad at those type of signings. You just kind of hope that the promise becomes a guarantee, and we end up doing good, right? That's all you pretty much. Now we take a foreigner spot for those players. I do get kind of bothered by that because I think foreigner spots need to be valued for game changing players, not promises. And that'll be my only issue. So when they come in and they're taking foreigner spots.
Right. No, yeah, I definitely agree. So obviously, you know, we touched on Kevin, you know, Kevin's here. Really just three other players after that, you know, do you feel like we're making the right? Obviously Kevin's the right signing, I think. But you know, these players that we linked with too. Say if we do sign them, do you feel like they're the right signings to replace? Because I feel like we've let more go than we're possibly bringing in at this point.
I'll say this: I think the only player that left in that hurts us is Pedro Aquino. Because he's the only natural five. He's the only natural defensive mid. Now, if you're a believer in Santiago Naveda, right? Because, like, let me remind you, when he was healthy and Pedro Aquino were healthy, he was beating him out for the job, right? Like, I even said, like, he reminds me of a young Herman Villa. Not saying that he's better than him or anything, but his style of play reminded me of Herman Villa. So if you believe that he could get back into that form, then we might like be okay. Now, if you talk about, right, so Benjamin comes in or Depoy comes in, who are they replacing? Well, Roger Martinez. Well, what was your take on Roger Martinez? Were you a fan of his? If you were, then maybe you're not. He's not the right guy to come in and replace him, right? Right. If you're a fan of Viñas, like, probably don't like Depoy, right? Because his numbers aren't necessarily anything great, but it is a pro. It's a gamble. It's like buy these stocks and see if I make more money out of it type situation. Right. For me, I think Pedro Aquino is the only one that you kind of do, depending on what the coach wants, right? If you want a natural five, you can. Pedro Aquino can say whatever you want, but he is one of the better fives in the league. Naveda would have to step up if we have to play with a defensive mid. And then the other guys, well, they're not starting. You know, they're going to compete, or they're going to come in as subs if Valdez is injured, or if it's Henry Martin, for example, he won't be here for the beginning of the season. So we're going to need him and Lozano and Roman Martinez, right? Step up.
And Naveda's coming back from Poland, right?
Poland. And also Dagoberto Espinosa, I think that's it, right? Him too, which I believe he's a center mid. Like Fidalgo and Richard.
Richard, yeah.
Yeah. So, but I don't know if he's going to go straight to the first team or he's going to go into the academy again, right? Or he's going to get loaned out. I don't know the situation. I'm sure they're going to analyze all that when it comes to these friendlies, but hey, like I said, if you're a fan of academy players getting chances, then these are the games that you kind of hope they impress. So it's like, okay, like I could use that guy, and like Jardinet, right? If it ends up being him, he's a guy that did really good with the Brazilian squad in the Olympics, right? And they were all youngsters. Well, except three players, but for the most part, they were youngsters. So maybe you do see these, you see someone come out of all of this, and it could be them, right? It could be Naveda, it could be Dagoberto, it could be Lara, it could be someone we haven't even seen. But yeah.
Right. And so I go to my next buy or sell here for you, Chris. Now that we talked about, you know, the managers, you know, the players rumored to come back, and obviously with like Naveda coming back and the two other players too. But in an interview too with Vanos and on Through the NM, he said Donald said the team needs a new face in charge and for a coach, and 2 to 3 players didn't believe in the project. Are you buying or selling that?
I don't know, bro. I think that I'm kind of 50-50 on that. Mm-hmm. It's hard to see, because I don't know if you remember, in some of these games, the locker room looked so, like, it reminded us of that 2018 team, right, where we beat Cruz Azul. It was 18, right, 2018?
Yes.
Like, they just look united. They just look like a family. And to sit here and be like, oh, there's 2-3 players that didn't just believe in the project or him anymore, it's like something must have happened within that game or a little bit before that for him to say that, you know? Like,
yeah.
So I don't know if I buy it, but it's hard to like be like, oh, you're lying, because I think he doesn't. It's not necessarily a lie that needs to be said, type thing, you know? Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, Thano quit. Like,
yeah.
If he did, like, there's no reason for him to lie about that.
Yeah.
You know?
Man, I'm kind of on the same boat with you. I mean, because we talked about it too, you know, as a coach, you know, you got to figure out a way to help your team, to guide your team to victory. And I said, you know, after the Pachuca game, I felt like that was a turning point in terms of the club and the team playing on the field. I mean, regardless, you know, before the Pachuca game, obviously we won games, yeah, but we also drew games we should have won. We won games that we should have obviously be winning regardless. But I mean, like for you, like you kind of said, it's hard because, you know, I felt like in that time they freaking just went off, you know, and they felt like they could do anything at that point. But then the Gia came, you know, then you kind of see it fall apart and everything. So it's kind of hard to buy that for me too. But I'm not really letting to say that to sell it either. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know, bro. Maybe they just hit it from the fans, you know, it is possible. And then you see how they played, right? Once Fidalgo got the red, and it's like, whoa, what do we do? You know, but if maybe they just didn't believe.
If I had a guess, man, I think Roger and Aquino were at least two players that didn't project more. I feel like that's why.
I kind of think it was Henry Martin too, bro. I think.
And really?
Not that he didn't believe in it, But Tano throw shade at him, you know? Like, yeah. I don't know if you saw the interview when he arrived in Monterrey saying Funes Mori is miles better than Henry Martin. And I think, yeah. I looked at it as shade. Like, why are you... Yeah. Like, you could have just said they're both great players, you know, and I'm excited to play with another great player or train another player, right? But it was like, oh, he's miles better. And for me, it was like, you can have your opinion, but it's like, you just came from having a professional, but to an extent, a personal relationship with him, right? You don't throw shade when he went to war with you in the field. I mean, there's something there, right? So I would assume it's Henry Martin too. And I mean, I always feel like Layun is involved in these things. So I don't know if Layun was involved, but Layun just feels like a guy that's always involved in these type of,
yeah,
like things.
Yeah, no, I completely forgot about that. What Donald said about Funes Mori and Henry. So I can definitely agree with that and see how Henry might have. I don't think not believing in the project, like he kind of said, is the right word, but to just kind of like give up on Donald in a sense, like I don't care if this dude leaves or stays. Yeah. But he probably leaned more into like I want him gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I can see Oscar Jimenez being one of the, I feel like there's some players that are just leader of the team that we don't really realize. And I think Oscar Jimenez is probably a leader in that locker room.
Yeah.
And maybe him getting benched was like one of those things where like, oh, I'm not okay with this. I don't believe in his project. Malagón isn't the guy, you know. Plus, we've seen him be bitter in training, right? Where that famous quote from Paul Aguilar saying, look at his face because Memo's coming or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. But.
So, yeah.
But, man, I mean, here we are. I mean, still managerless. Kevin, so far, the only signing that the club has had. I mean, what an offseason it's been.
Yeah. A lot of players back on loan.
Yeah. I mean, we mentioned three of them at least.
Naveda, Dago, yeah. Lightness.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I mean, there's probably other academy players coming back, but you don't really highlight them because they're not on big contracts. But
yeah.
But yeah, I mean.
But I mean, the preseason is around the corner, and obviously a lot of the players too are on international duty, so.
I forgot to add Mere and Otero.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I forgot to mention them, but I think they're not. They're gonna find the spot. They're gonna be loaned out.
Move on. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're probably gonna say screw this. They're the two that don't believe in the project.
Oh yeah, and we don't believe. Yeah. They never really got a chance, but. I mean, I seen them both play a little bit, and they're really bad. Awful timing.
Yeah, I mean, here we are. I still remember whenever we announced Ortero. I mean, I don't think Ivan was happy about that one. So,
the first player to be a flop before he even stepped on the field, because no one gave him a chance.
No.
At all. Like, we gave Insaurralde a chance, you know? Like, we kind of, whatever, we have a good tag team.
Respect with him, it was like respecting Soraya. I can't believe you brought him up.
Hey, that's true though. You know, he was a very likable locker room guy, but he wasn't that great.
Man, no respect. I still remember whenever he scored, and that didn't he like tear up because
he was leaving
the meme for the clip.
I think he was leaving too. No, like. I remember everyone was like, oh, he should have gotten more chances, and I had on it, bro. Like, we got Linus right there. Why would he play?
Oh yeah, I think Ivan was just like, this dude wears glasses, like how can he pass when he's on the pitch?
You know, he still goes out with goggles.
Oh my god. Fun time right there. I wish he'd come back, to be honest.
That's when you guys first started podcasting, right?
No, we started podcasting. I was still in college. It had to be like 2017.
Oh, well, it's around the same time, right?
I don't remember, to be honest.
I mean, that was 2018. That's 2017, around the same time, I would guess. And back when Christian used to smile. I watched some of the old videos and I see him smiling all the time. Oh, he doesn't even look at the camera.
Oh, my God. Oh man. Back when we were a little more consistent too, when we actually had more time. Like, I was in school, Christian was in school,
Ivan wasn't a DILF.
Oh my god. Anyways, I think that's where we ended right there. Chris, anything else to add on regarding the club, the state of the club?
Just make sure to follow us on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram. You know, we got you with any news. Shout out to the women's team for being champions. I think AJ would be mad if we don't bring that up. He probably wouldn't care, but I think if he does get mad, then let's make sure he doesn't get mad.
No, yeah, that was really fun to watch. what was I doing? I think I was at work whenever they won it. So I watched from work on the live stream. And then, like, I rushed home just in time to see them lift the trophy. So shout out to them. Obviously, the second one that I've witnessed, witnessed the Femenil team lift it. I think the first one was 2018, 2019, somewhere around there. I know it was pre-pandemic. I think it was at the club watching that. So I can never
the club be, turning
yeah,
up.
Yeah, bro, I can never be sitting at home watching either team. So I mean, I'm doing something at this point at work or with the neon lights. But yeah, shout out to the women's team. Big for them. Honestly, made me forget about the way that the things ended for the ravioli side. So
yeah, I agree completely. I was hyped, man. Like, I think I won't say I'm a diehard because I'm nowhere near AJ, right? I'm very ignorant and clueless to the players. But whenever you see anyone represent the club that you love, you're always going to be happy for them. And,
right.
And I watched it, you know. I wish they showed it on public TV, you know. That's one thing I'll say is I think having to watch it through the YouTube with no commentary is very turned offish, you know. But the end of the day, you watch it, you see how hyped the girls, the ladies were, and how hyped the crowd was, and it's like, right? I always complain whenever they played in that high school field, I used to get so mad because it's like, bro, they represent us. Why are they not playing? And then Azteca, right?
Oh yeah, a lot of times they wouldn't play in the Azteca because Cruz was playing that night or whatever.
Yeah, see, and for me, it's just like that's bad scheduling and stuff. Like, come
and
on.
And another reason why Cruz needs to have their own stadium and get the hell out of the Azteca.
Right? Yeah, send them to the high school field, bro. Send them for over real. There. But yeah. I'm happy about that. Very happy. Shout out to the women and shout out to AJ for always being on his ish when it comes to the women's team, you know? No, yeah, I can't say that other word.
No, definitely, Chris. Definitely shout out to the ladies. You know, we'd love to see it. The Segundas and Guapa for the ladies, and hopefully they'll work to get lifting the third one pretty soon. I don't see why they couldn't or why they shouldn't hear pretty soon. But anything else, Chris, before we head out?
No, I mean, we'll be talking. We'll be back probably in a couple weeks, right? There's a lot of friendlies, a lot of football that we're going to be playing this upcoming season. We got Leagues Cup. We got CONCACAF, I don't even know if it's CONCACAF this year, right? It's not this. When is CONCACAF? Is it this season or?
I thought it was next year.
Okay, then it's next year. Forget CONCACAF. But either way, Leagues Cup, for the listeners that are here in the States, you know, hopefully they go to your city and we're able to play, go see them, right? And regular season, you know, it's going to be a long season, but hopefully at the end of this, we do lift the 14, something we all want. And I think if it's Jardine, I think it's very possible, very organized coach. And I think he knows the quality of players that he'll have in his hands.
Right. Nope. I definitely agree. Hopefully something will come about. And like I said, because doesn't the season start here pretty soon? Like, isn't it right around the corner?
Yeah, really soon. And then there's going to be a break for the Leagues Cup.
Yeah, because the Leagues Cup, yeah. Yeah, because the Leagues Cup's next month, starts next month, yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be one of those things. We're going to start the season without the Copa Oro players, which would be Israel, Henry, Malagón,
yeah.
And who else? That's it, right?
Yeah.
Is there anyone else? Yeah. No. So Oh, and Sendejas, who's going to be representing the U.S.
Oh, the U.S., yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we're going to probably see some new faces starting, some old faces starting, and we'll... Let's hope we start the season strong because of that. There should be no excuses. And yeah.
Alrighty. Well, thanks so much, guys, for tuning in to this episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. I am Dylan and joined with Chris. And we'll catch you all on the flip side. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.